translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O best of the Brahmanas, you should therefore go immediately to King Ambarish, the son of Maharaj Nabhag. I wish you all good fortune. If you can satisfy Maharaj Ambarish, then there will be peace for you. Okay, there's a very long verse in the purport, okay? So bear with me, don't get lost. Okay. In this regard, Madhva Muni quotes from the Garuda Puran, Brahmadi bhakti koti amshad, amsho neivam barishake, neivanyasya chakrasyapi, tathapi harir ishvaraha. Tat kali ko pache yatvat, tesham yashasa adhirat, brahmadayash chatat kirtim, vyanjayam asur uttamam, mohanayacha daityanam, brahmade nindanayacha, anyartham cha swayam vishnur, brahmadyascha nirashishaha, manusheshu tamatvacha, tesham bhaktyadi bhirgunehi, brahmadher vishnva adhinatva, gyanapanaya cha kevalam, durvashascha swayam rudras, tathapya anayam uktavan, tasyape anu grahartaya, darpa nashartham evacha. The lesson to be derived from the narration concerning Maharaj Ambarish and Durvasa Muni is that all the demigods, including Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, are under the control of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, when a Vaishnava is offended, the offender is punished by Vishnu, the Supreme Lord. No one can protect such a person, even Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Good morning, Hare Krishna, and welcome to this morning's class, which ends the fourth chapter of the ninth canto. So in this verse, the principal points are mentioned by Srila Prabhupada, that, and he's quoting from the Garuda Puran to verify the main points which Prabhupada has extracted from the translation to give essence to his purport, and that is that Durvasa Muni and all the demigods. We want Durvasa Muni to be the expansion of Lord Shiva. Prabhupada mentioning that because all demigods are under the control of Lord Sri Krishna or Vishnu, therefore, when a Vaishnava, a devotee of Lord Krishna, is offended, they are punishable by the Lord. And because the demigods are under the control of Lord Krishna, therefore, there is nobody else left who can protect an offender. And Prabhupada mentioned specifically even Varinchi and Mahadev, or Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. So we find that within the pastimes of Lord Krishna, or the adult pastimes of Lord Krishna, in this section we're reading in the Srimad Bhagavatam, so Lord Krishna is personally not involved. So the entire saga or the pastime is between a devotee, Maharaj Ambarish, and Durvasa Muni. So Lord Krishna is physically not in between this pastime or this episode in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the history of this universe. And all of you know, and you have heard this story so many times about how Maharaj Ambarish eventually forgave Durvasa Muni upon the direction and advice of Lord Vishnu. When we reflect upon Lord Krishna's pastimes when he has been physically involved, you find that these points of Srila Prabhupada that he's making in this purport really come to life. So for example, when Lord Krishna was physically present on the planets in his personal form, so many times his devotees were being offended. In fact, that's probably all they were, all that was happening to them in the presence of Lord Krishna. And each time, the offenders would always try to seek the shelter of the demigods because they knew that Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna is partial to his devotees. This was a clear fact that during Dwapara Yuga, while Lord Krishna was physically present, when offenders would offend his devotees, they knew from the very beginning that these devotees, and one reason why they were probably offending Krishna's devotees, his personal associates, was because they were Krishna's devotees. Because they were offensive towards Lord Krishna, they were envious of Lord Krishna, and many times, because of the protection of Lord Krishna, they would maximize their offensive nature to his associates. And of course, here he's speaking of the Pandavas and the extended associates of Lord Sri Krishna. And all of these people who were offenders, they would always seek the shelter of the demigods. And in seeking the shelter of the demigods, they would try to be freed from, number one, the consequence of offending a Vaishnava, and number two, trying to be protected from the wrath of Lord Krishna. Because Krishna was always partial to his devotees. And this is a fact that everybody knew who were around Lord Krishna. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he's making this point here, that because the demigods are controlled by Lord Krishna, therefore, there is no way that an offender can ever be pardoned by the demigods. And in fact, you find that when an offender approaches the demigods, they become an instrument in the hands of Krishna to destroy the offender. It's very interesting. And one incident which I would like to share is a person who was just offending. You know, sometimes you may think of, you may find a person, you know, obviously outside of our institution, who just offends. All he does is he offends and offends and offends. And there's a very, very interesting episode where Lord Sri Krishna is in the circle and in the environment of such an offender. And how does Lord Krishna deal with him? How does Lord Krishna bring about his destruction? How does Lord Krishna involve his very, very intimate and close associates, for whom Lord Sri Krishna has literally given up his own independence to protect, and his own time and energy and even pastimes, in terms of the sweet pastimes, to protect? And this person is unfortunately the son of a great Brahmin, and his name is Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama. And the reason why I use the word that he's the son of a great Brahmin and very unfortunate, because his father, Drona, he was a very special person. Now his father, just to give a very, very quick introduction to who Drona is, his father, Maharishi Bharadwaj, he was the person who was the very first student when a mantra was put into a chanda or poetry. And this was done by the Adi Kavi, the very first poet, who is Maharishi Valmiki. So when Maharishi Valmiki received direct blessings and grace by Lord Krishna, I won't go through the pastime, but, and I'm sure most of you know the pastime, but when he saw two kronjas, or two particular types of birds, being killed by a hunter, from his karuna, or from his very, very deep compassion, Valmiki Rishi, he uttered a curse. And that curse took the form of a beauty, of a very beautiful poem. Manishad pratishthatvam agama shashvati sama yat kroncha mithunad ekam avadit kama mohitam. O hunter, you killed one kronch, one particular bird, who was enjoying company of its partner. Because you intervened in the life of these two birds. Agama Shashvati Sama. Your life will come to end very soon. Your duration of life will reduce because of the sins that you have committed to hurt another human being. Now when Valmiki uttered this curse, he was surprised that his words became fixed in a beautiful poetical meter, the Anushtup Chanda, which has 8 syllables per line, which totals in 4 lines, as we have in most of the verses of the Gita and even the Srimad Bhagavatam. So when he uttered this verse, he was reflecting that because from my deep compassion and my sorrow, I uttered the very first verse as a human being, out of my shock, all verses henceforth will be called shlok. Making sense? From Valmiki's great compassion, his shock, because he uttered the very first verse, all verses are therefore called shlok. And then he taught, and then obviously once he figured out how to put verses into poems, then we all know that he approached Narad, and he asked Narad those questions, which are very important for people to gain an example. Who is the best person in this world? You know, who is the most courageous? Who is always righteous, always dutiful, never partaking on the path of sin, always devoted to his family, community, friends, and the Supreme Lord, who is very dharmic? And then, because Valmiki had practiced through this, unknowingly, through this curse, then he compiled the very first text outside of the Vedas, revealed by Lord Krishna, which was the Ramayana, in 24,000 verses. And this Ramayana, he chose one of his students, Bhardwaj, the very first student, Bhardwaj, and he taught the Valmiki Ramayana to Bhardwaj. So Bhardwaj was a very, very special soul who received the very first Gavya, or the very first book of poem on the pastimes of Lord Krishna. And this Rishi Bhardwaj, he was the one, he was the father of Drona. So can you see the line, the lineage in which Ashwatthama appeared? It even extends over yugas. It extends over so many yugas. And this Ashwatthama, you find that actually there is a saying in the scriptures, in Dharma Shastras, that daridram nasamam ripuhu. That for the conditioned soul, or for a person who is still attached to this world, and to their well-being, poverty is the greatest enemy. Poverty is the greatest enemy. Nasamam ripu. Ripu means enemy. Nasamam, nothing equal. Daridra, poverty. Poverty is such that even sometimes people who are trying to go on a religious or sacred path, righteous path, even they can become bewildered by the acquisition of wealth. And sometimes it can become an obstacle and a great medium to fall down for one's spiritual life. So, as you know, Ashwatthama, he was raised by his father in such a way so that artificially other children of his age would consider him wealthy. Because there was no milk in the house, Acharya Dron and his wife, who was Kripi, the sister of Acharya Kripa, the priest of Hastinapur. Acharya Dron, he would smear the residue of milk mixed in water over the lips of his son, so that other children would see that there is money in the home and that Ashwatthama is being given milk. And in this way, as you know, Drona, he was very, very poverty stricken. And all of us know what happened when he went to his best friend's home, Drupad, for help. And all Ashwatthama as a child saw was the consequences of poverty. How people in society would not even give you space, time, respect. In fact, they would forget the previous relationships, like Drupad did, and discard and reject you. So in this way, Ashwatthama, he was very much spoilt by his parents. So a good note, huh? He was a child was very much spoilt by his parents. And therefore, Ashwatthama, all he wanted to do was somehow, although being a Brahmin, he somehow wanted to just gain and acquire wealth. And he saw that those who were unrighteous, or Duryodhan and his brothers, they know methods by which they can very quickly acquire wealth. And those methods were always very sinful. And therefore Ashwatthama, he became inclined to sinful activities. And you find that towards the end of Ashwatthama's life, he was so much implicated in sin that he became a repeated offender of Krishna's associates and his devotees. So let's just see how Maharishi Vyas, the incarnation of Lord Krishna, depicts Ashwatthama. And how did Krishna deal with a person who even he had a relationship with? Lord Krishna was very much respectful towards Ashwatthama and even his father, Drona. So how did Krishna deal with Ashwatthama, who in front of his very eyes was disturbing him? Krishna was being disturbed by the activities of Ashwatthama. What did Krishna do? How did he give Ashwatthama consequences of offending Vaishnavas? And at the same time, how did he involve the Vaishnavas in the forgiving of Ashwatthama? And all of us know what happened in the end. But let's just see what built up to when Draupadi, regardless, despite her sons being massacred by Ashwatthama. And remember, not only was the sons, but the entire Pandav army. We say that the Mahabharata war took place for 18 days. But how comes there was another war? There was another war. This war was waged by Ashwatthama alone. How is it possible that Ashwatthama, who have been fighting for 18 days against Lord Krishna, and why against Lord Krishna? Because it's very, very clear. It's very, very clear that nobody could defeat Duryodhan. Even Bhim. Nobody could defeat Bhishma. Nobody could defeat Drona. All of these great powers were somehow, they became under the influence and the control of the side of Adharma. And as you know, it's very intricate and very, very emotional in the sense of how these great powers became controlled by Dhritarashtra through his son, Duryodhan. And therefore, Vyasa, he makes it very clear that none of these people could ever have been destroyed by the Pandavas. Even the very chariots that the Pandavas were using to wage war against Adharma, even they could not withstand the weapons that were being used by the Kuru Sena. Only because Lord Krishna was protecting the Pandavas, only therefore the Pandavas could subdue and of course emerge victorious against those people who were against the will of God. And therefore we find that the end of Ashwatthama's pastimes take place just when Lord Krishna and Arjun gave Bhim an idea on how to defeat Duryodhan. And as we all know, he was struck below the waist, which was unprotected, by the austerities of his mother, Gandhari. And as a result, Duryodhan, he fell onto the ground, very close to his deathbed. At that point, Duryodhan, he started to censor Krishna. He started to say, Krishna, this is all your fault. You are the one who, at the beginning, was a messenger of peace. And then when the war started, you are the one who, through deceitful methods, killed every single person, including me. What type of dharma is this? Now, Lord Krishna, you know, he's a great philosopher. Very, very ritualistic in his ways. And a great philosopher and a great debater. So Krishna began his debate with Duryodhana, who was lying down, you know, about to die. He was in agony. Vyasa explains his eyebrows were being screwed up. His eyes were red. And he was so, so annoyed with Lord Krishna while on his deathbed. What a situation to be in, huh? On your deathbed, when Krishna's standing right in front of you. Immense aggravation and so much revenge and hatred for Krishna. And then Krishna began to point out all of the sinful deeds of Duryodhan in the presence of Duryodhan. And while doing so, Krishna was trying to point out to Duryodhan that when a person commits a sinful activity, when a person offends a Vaishnava, there will be consequence. Now the consequence will be given by the laws of material nature, or prakriti, time. Now, ultimately, maya dyakshena prakriti, suyate sacharacharam, as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, that the material nature is under his protection. under His guidance and His control. So it is indirectly through Lord Shri Krishna's sanctioning that individuals get consequences for sinful activities and also for good. Now the difference here was that the person who controls material nature, the person who ultimately decides whether a blade of grass moves or not, he was physically present. And he, because he was physically present, he was directly deciding what the appropriate consequence should be of a person who commits sinful activities or who offends the Vaishnavas. And therefore, all of the deceitful means that Krishna used to destroy the Kauravas, they were not instigated by Lord Krishna. Krishna sanctioned them. They were instigated due to the sinful activities of the Kauravas. And then Krishna, he began to one by one, all of those individuals that were killed deceitfully, so-called deceitfully, Krishna started to explain how they were a consequence of their offensive nature to his devotees. Now Duryodhan, he actually realized on his deathbed what Krishna was saying. That Krishna was not a human being who, by conniving, through a conniving nature, was unlawfully trying to kill you. He was simply sanctioning the consequence of your sinful activities. So actually it was the individual's own activities that caused their death in such a horrible and very, very distasteful way. So after this conversation took place, then Yudhishthir, something occurred to him. He thought that actually this entire war has been waged so that Krishna's will can be protected, so that Krishna's desire can merge victorious, so that Krishna's way can be influence over the coming ages and of Dwapur and Kali. But Yudhishthir realized that there is one person who did not partake in the battle, who for a moment can destroy all the Pandavas. And this person is such that because this person is the mother of the Pandavas, therefore Yudhishthira and the Pandavas cannot actually wage war against her. And this was their eldest mother, Gandhari. Yudhishthira was thinking that because Gandhari, in her spare time, she was a lady who in her spare time, because of being blindfolded and obviously not having much social life and not having any reason to connect to other individuals, she would spend her free time performing severe austerities. That was her pastime. So she'd wake up, have her breakfast, see how the children are doing, and then go and perform severe austerities. This was done on a daily basis throughout her entire life. She was a great tapasvini. And therefore, Yudhishthir, thinking in this way, he said to Lord Krishna, Chintayanu Mahabhagam Gandharim Tapa Sanutam Ghorena Tapasa Yuktam Trailokyam Apisadhayet. That Gandhari, due to her severe austerities, if she wants to, Ghorena Tapasa, through her severe, ghora, very, very difficult austerities, if she would like to, in a moment, she can reduce all of us five Pandavas to ashes, and in fact, destroy three worlds. And because she has suffered the consequence of the massacre of all of her 101 sons, because there was another son, he was the mother, who was the son of a Vaishya lady by Dhritarashtra. Therefore, through that rage, we need to console Gandhari. Now, if I, Yudhishthir, and the Pandavas were to come in front of Gandhari, she would immediately kill them. So, Yudhishthir requested Lord Krishna, please, can you go? Hastinapur. And, just sort out the situation. Can you console Gandhari? Because, if we were to go, it would be destructive for us. So Krishna agreed. Krishna, he asked Daruka, his charioteer, his very, very special horses, Shabya, etc., tied them together, and he moved immediately to Hastinapur to console Gandhari and save the Pandavas even after the war yet again. Now, when Krishna arrived, it's so interesting when you read about the psychology on how Krishna consoled Gandhari and Dhritarashtra. The first thing he did. Now, according to Vedic culture, when a person offers their namaskars to a senior person, They don't put their hands directly onto their feet. The right hand crosses over the right foot and left hand crosses over the left foot. So generally in the Vedic culture, you find that's how pranams are offered to the elders. Krishna, when he saw Dhritarashtra, who was seated with Maharishi Vyas, he immediately fell onto the floor and he caught the feet and he embraced the feet really, really tightly. So Krishna did this first and foremost to Vyasa and then to Dhritarashtra. He held their feet and embraced them so tightly. The Supreme Personality of Godhead did this to Dhritarashtra, the cause of all of the offenses to the Pandavas and the disturbance even to him. And after embracing the feet, Krishna, it's so interesting, he silently offered his pranams to Gandhari. He didn't say anything. Very silently. He did not want to disturb her at this point. He kept her in check by silently offering his pranams to Gandhari. At that point, Krishna, he took the right hand of Dhritarashtra, and when he took his hand, Krishna, he profusely began to weep. He was uncontrollably crying. Krishna was exhibiting his own condolences to Dhritarashtra. And Dhritarashtra was thinking, this guy is more impacted more than me. You know, Krishna is like, you know, Krishna's crying on behalf of Gandhari and Dhritarashtra. So this obviously melted the heart of Dhritarashtra. And then Krishna, you know, obviously it was quite uncontrolled. So Krishna then he moved over to a pot of water. He cleaned his face and to get the tears all away, the makeup back to normal. Okay, divine. And his hands, and Krishna became presentable once again to Dhritarashtra. And at that point, Krishna then started to explain to Dhritarashtra two things. And it's a very, very long samvad or distraction, conversation. Krishna was explaining why the war and the consequence of the war is the fault of Dhritarashtra. And how the Pandavas always wanted peace. And Krishna, he gave so many reasons, and he was speaking quite loudly. And as he was speaking to Dhritarashtra, he was getting through to Gandhari. And by the time Krishna finished his sermon, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulnanda Bhagavan ki jai, Jai Shri Talamaksha Mahanamana ki jai, Shri Gaunithaya ki jai. At that point then, Dhritarashtra became consoled. And then, Krishna then went over to Gandhari, and began to console her. And the very first words he used was, Gandhari, mother, there is no woman, no lady greater than you in this world. That was the very first line he used to Gandhari. Gandhari was very happy, you know, to hear this from my enemy. Such great glorification. And then Gandhari, Krishna explained, you know, mother, even you tried your best. First I spoke, then spoke Parushuram, Narad spoke, different Rishi spoke, and even you spoke when I entered into Hastinapur for 10 days. For 10 days we spoke to your son as a messenger of peace. And even your son ignored your words. So where is my fault? Where is the fault of the Pandavas? So in this way, Gandhari, very, very slowly, she came to understand that actually there is no point her weeping for the death of her sons. Having consoled Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, that, you know, that scene was very emotional. It was very, very important. It was a scene which would have changed the course of destiny if Krishna hadn't intervened. That's why Krishna intervened. Because actually the course of destiny was about to be changed. That's why God himself had to come to change the course of destiny. Because Gandhari was going to kill the Pandavas. She was going to destroy the entire planet. And Krishna said, Yudhishthira said three planets. Bhurbhuva and Svahalok. That's why you see Krishna personally went. It wasn't just a set up pastime. These assumptions are not made in the scriptures. We may think ourselves better than the scriptures by making assumptions that all this was set by Krishna. That's okay, but let's put that to aside. This is reality. This is true. This is actually what happened. If Krishna had not intervened, we would not be here. It's plain and simple as that. It's not about, you know, predetermined pastimes. Let's just accept what the scriptures say. And let's not think outside or better than God. So Krishna, he used his entire energy to prevent the destruction of the Pandavas. And then, in that emotional mood, Krishna, he suddenly just stood up. And his entire mood changed. And Dhritarashtra was thinking, and Gandhari were thinking, and they asked him, what's happened? Suddenly, Krishna's just changed his mood. And then, Krishna said, I have just come to realize the sankalpa or the determination of Ashwatthama. And this determination is that Ashwatthama, he is going to wage war. Despite the war having ended, Ashwatthama has decided to wage war against the Pandavas. And this is disturbing me a lot. And the reason why it's disturbing me a lot is because Ashwatthama is going to wage war in a specific way that is going to destroy the Pandavas. And at that point, immediately, Gandhari and Dhritarashtra said, Shigram Gacha Mahabaho Pandavan Paripalayan. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, greatly armed Krishna. Immediately, Shigram, quickly go to save the Pandavas. So on the request and order of Gandhari and Dhritarashtra, Krishna immediately left. Now, when Krishna came to realize the mind of Ashwatthama, let's just backtrack what actually happened. What did Ashwatthama decide to do to the Pandavas that disturbed Krishna's moment with Gandhari and Dhritarashtra? When Ashwatthama was told by the messengers of Duryodhan that he's fallen down in war, Ashwatthama immediately, with three people that survived the war, Kritavarma, Kripacharya and Ashwatthama, they immediately went to see Duryodhan. And when they saw Duryodhan, Duryodhan saw that these three people are greatly grieving. And by that time, Duryodhan had come to realize at the end moment about the glories of Krishna, about all of his mistakes. And then Krishna therefore said, Manyamana prabhavam cha krishnasyam iti tejasa, that I have now come to accept the greatness of Krishna. I have now come to accept the glories of Krishna. Therefore, samaya samanu prapto. How fortunate am I that I am going to achieve Krishna after my death. He said this, prapto, sa. I'm going to achieve Krishna at my death. And therefore, nasmi shochaya katham jana. Ashwatthama, kripa, kritavarma, don't mourn. I've achieved the ultimate goal of life by realizing the glories of Krishna, and I'm going to be achieved by him. But Ashwatthama, he did not listen to Duryodhan. He said, please appoint me commander-in-chief of your army. The war has not ended. I want to take pratishodh. I want to take revenge for the death of my father and for what they done to you. So Duryodhan was thinking, this guy's not going to listen. You know, I'm now Krishna conscious. You know, but this guy, fine. Why don't you also get destroyed in the same way that all of us have got destroyed? Kripa, bring me sacred water. Kripacharya brought sacred water, chant the mantras, appointed him as Senapati of Kurusena. Go, meet your death. So that Ashwatthama, he went with Kripa and Kritavarma. And at that point, the Pandavas, Krishna told the Pandavas, at this point Krishna was with the Pandavas, that let's enter into the camp of the Kurusena. But actually, the first night, the Pandavas should not stay there. The survivors were the five Pandavas, Krishna and Satyaki. So he said, Satyaki, you and the Pandavas should stay outside. For the first, it's respectful, you know, because they were our brothers, they were our relatives. The rest can stay there. So then there was a sacred river called Oghavati. And at the banks of Oghavati, the Pandavas camped. And that's when Krishna left to go to Hastinapur to consult Dhritarashtra and Gandhari. Now, Ashwatthama and Kripa and Kritavarma, they made their way to the camp of the Kurus to wage war. And as they were going, fatigued from 18 days of fight, Kripacharya and Kritavarma, they just crashed to the ground and they fell asleep. They were so tired. Ashwatthama was thinking, I can't get any sleep because I'm the one who wants to go and continue the war and kill the Pandavas and their entire army. And at that point, Ashwatthama, he was walking around the forest. And while walking, he suddenly saw this beautiful banyan tree. And this banyan tree was very specific because it was full of crows. This banyan tree was completely full of crows. Ashwatthama was thinking, this is an interesting sight. And while wandering around with his two comrades falling asleep, suddenly a gigantic, enormous owl, a very, very special owl with green eyes, huge mouth, huge form. This owl glided like Garuda. Swift and very slowly and really fast. And as he glided like Garuda, this owl suddenly massacred and killed all of the crows who were sleeping on this banyan tree. Ashwatthama looked and he got inspired from that incident. And in his mind, he said, you know what? This owl has taught me a lesson. There's no way I can kill the panda. It's just not possible. I've already tried. All of us tried. So you know what I'll do? I'll kill the pandavas while sleeping. This was the resolution. This is what he was inspired by when he saw the owl. Sometimes in life, things that we're inspired by aren't always good for us. Okay. And in this case, this was this. So when he was inspired to kill the pandavas while sleeping, that's when Krishna stood up in Hastinapura. When he came to realize, this guy is absolutely crazy. He's now going to kill while people are sleeping. This is just, you know, something which is just very, very far to digest and accept. So then Ashwatthama woke up. Kripa, Kritavarma, let's go. We are going to wage war right now. And there was a huge conversation that took place between Kripa and Ashwatthama, because he was his maternal uncle, his mama. And unfortunately, Ashwatthama convinced Kripacharya and Kritavarma, okay, fine. If you're not going to fight while they're sleeping, just guard the entrance so that nobody escapes. I will go and I will kill them all on my own. They were like, okay, good luck, you know? Best of luck. Now, when Ashwatthama was approaching the main gate of the Kuru camp where the Pandavas were residing, he was stopped. He was stopped by a huge, it is said, Bhuta Mahakayam, by an entity who had a humongous body. He was so big. He looked like the sun and the moon. He had a tiger skin gopin wrapped around. He had a black deer upper garment, and a snake was coiled around his chest as the sacred thread. He had 1,000 eyes, and from his eyes, his ears, his nose, and his mouth, thousands of Krishnas were manifesting with shank, gada, and chakra to protect the gate or where the Pandavas were all residing. The Pandavasena, sorry. So when Ashwatthama saw this, he wasn't fearful, although it was a really, really horrible sight to see and to fear. Ashwatthama began to wage war against this gigantic person. And this person was just eating up all of Ashwatthama's weapons, one by one, one by one. Ashwatthama gave up this fight. He realized that there's no way I can win this war. Suddenly he looked up in the sky, and there was Krishnas everywhere, covering the entire sky. Ashwatthama gave up. He walked away to the east, and when he went away to the east, he realized that how am I going to complete my determination to offend the Pandavas and to kill the Pandavas? And while thinking, he thought exactly what Prabhupada Prabhupada says in the purport. He went to the shelter of Lord Shiva. He sat down and he began to meditate upon Lord Shiva. And he decided that if Lord Shiva does not help Ashwatthama in destroying the Pandavas and the Sena, he will sacrifice his body to Lord Shiva. So through his meditation, suddenly a great golden Yajnakund appeared. And beside were all of the associates, the various hobgoblins, the Rakshasas, the Pishachas, the Brahma Rakshasas, all hanging around this Yajnakund. Ashwatthama, he began to walk in the center of the sacred fire. He said, Lord Shiva, I'm burning my body because I need your help. If you don't help me, I will give my body up in sacrifice to you. Immediately, Lord Shiva appeared. And he said, the first thing he said to Ashwatthama is, he said, Tasmat ishtatama krishnad anayo mamana vidyate. Ashwatthama, in this world, in my life, there is no one more dearer to me than Krishna. So I can't go against Lord Krishna. This is the first thing that Lord Shiva said to Ashwatthama. But Ashwatthama was not giving up. He wanted the destruction of the Pandavas, the entire war. He wanted to change the course of destiny. He wanted to make sure that Krishna is offended, that his devotees are offended in the future and present, and probably past as well. And therefore, Ashwatthama, he kept his resolution. Now, Krishna, while Ashwatthama, exactly what Prabhupada said in the purport, while Ashwatthama was thinking that he will be utilizing the demigods to protect him in his offensive nature towards the Vaishnavas, like Durvasa was thinking in the same way. But Krishna, he utilized Lord Shiva, who is Mahakaleshwara. Lord Shiva is the person who destroys individuals. He is destruction personified. So Lord Krishna, he had done something in such a way by which Ashwatthama felt that Lord Shiva had blessed him to kill the Pandavas. At the same time, through that blessing, Lord Shiva will personally cause the destruction of Ashwatthama. And guess what Lord Shiva did? He entered into the body of Ashwatthama. He possessed Ashwatthama. Because there was no way that Ashwatthama can kill the Pandavas. Only if Lord Shiva was to possess the body of Ashwatthama, only then can Ashwatthama do something which will offend and kill the Pandavas. Having become possessed by Lord Shiva, he became a supernatural being. From his right and left hand sides, all of Lord Shiva's associates in an invisible form were empowering him. Ashwatthama, through the back gate, entered into the camp, and immediately he went to the camp of Drishtadyumna, and like an animal, he used his right heel, and he started to kick the throat, the neck, and the chest of Drishtadyumna. Drishtadyumna woke up. If you're going to kill me with weapons, in a respectful way. You're killing me like an animal. And Ashwatthama said, no, you deserve to die like an animal. You killed my father. And he wouldn't stop. He kicked him in the vital hairs. And as he kicked him with his heel, Drishtadyumna died. Then he went to Yudhamanyu. Done the same to Yudhamanyu. He killed everybody like animals. And at that point, Ashwatthama, he roared loudly, having achieved the first part of his mission success. And as he roared, the entire Pandav Sena, they all woke up. And when they woke up, the five sons of the Pandavas also woke up. They clad themselves in their armor, and then took place a war. Ashwatthama was invincible. He began to destroy all of the Pandav Sena. In fact, he massacred everyone. And then the five Pandav sons, they came forward, and they attempted to destroy Ashwatthama. And as you all know, the five Pandavas, in a full waged war at night, and woken up from their sleep, being disturbed in such a way, they all lost their lives. Pratibindya, the son of Yudhishthir, he was struck in the abdomen. Lord Shiva had given him a vimalam khadgam uttamam, a very polished, beautiful, topmost sword. And with that sword, Ashwatthama was destroying everybody. Shrutasen, the son of Bhima, he pierced Ashwatthama with a spear. Ashwatthama, he cut off his hands, and then he stabbed him in the back and caused his death. Shatanika, the son of Nakula, he threw a car wheel on the chest of Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama, he cut off his head. Then Shrutakarma, the son of Sahadev, he struck Ashwatthama with an arrow in the left forehead. Ashwatthama, with a spike. And Ashwatthama, he disfigured the face of Shrutakarma, and in that way, he was killed. And the son of Arjun, Shrutakirti, being like his father, he started to throw arrows at Ashwatthama, and Ashwatthama, he ended up using that sword of Lord Shiva, and he cut off the head of Shrutakirti. And in this way, Shikhandini then came, the cause of the Bhishma's destruction. Ashwatthama was very upset with Shikhandini because of what he'd done to Bhishma, and he cut him in two parts. So his body was separated in two parts. And in this way, Ashwatthama then, he burnt the entire Pandav Sena alive in three places. And Kripa and Kritavarma, they were making sure that nobody escapes. But one person escaped, the charioteer of Drishtadyumna. And as he escaped, he went and he told Yudhishthir, who were situated on the banks of the Oghavati River, about what happened. Yudhishthir, he fell to the ground. And the Pandavas, they caught hold of him. Krishna had also arrived at that point. And then Yudhishthir asked Nakula to go and bring Draupadi from Upapalavya. That is where Draupadi was staying. And then, in this way, when Draupadi arrived, she was obviously lamenting, and she told Bhima, you know, you're the person who's always protected me. So please, you go and you bring that money, that precious gem on the forehead of Ashwatthama, who is so egoistic by, that he's got his powers by. You go and you please bring that for me. And in that way, destroy Ashwatthama. So Nakula became the charioteer, and Bhim, they traced the tracks of Ashwatthama. And then Lord Krishna, this happened really quickly. And then Lord Krishna, he said to Yudhishthir, what are you doing? Bhim is no match for Ashwatthama. This Ashwatthama, he is such a bad person. Let me tell you a story, how bad he is, even to me. Once, when Acharya Dron gave Arjun the Brahmashira weapon, unwillingly, he said, do not use this weapon ever on anything, on any person. As
Ashwatthama became evil. One day, his father said to him, you know what? You're going to use this weapon. I know you will use this weapon one day. Ashwatthama was like, no, I'm not going to use the weapon one day. And then in this way, they were arguing. Father and son were arguing. Ashwatthama, he left his home. And he settled in Dwarika. He lived in Dwarika. He got his passport, got his visa, his residency, and he stayed in Dwarika as a resident of Lord Sri Krishna. So one day, while living in Dwarika, he saw Krishna walking on the banks of the ocean alone. Ashwatthama, he went to Krishna and he said, Krishna, I have a Brahmashira. I want to exchange it for your Sudarshan Chakra. What do you say? Krishna, this guy's crazy. And then Krishna said, look, listen, I don't need any Brahmashira. Keep it to yourself. Take any weapon you want from me. I have the Sharanga bow of Lord Vishnu. I have Sudarshana. I have Gada, Sarangi. Take whatever you want. Ashwatthama was thinking, this guy is really kind. Is this what you do to all your residents? Give whatever they ask for? So then he put his chakra on the ground. Ashwatthama, he used, he's such a disrespectful person. First he used his left hand to pick the chakra up. Nothing happened. Used his right hand. Nothing happened. His entire might, he was trying to pick up this thousand iron-spoked chakra. With fangs, feet turned leftwards, running away, 16 armed. This is the Sudarshana, Krishna's greatest associate. He was unable to lift the chakra up. And Krishna said, you know what? I did austerities for Pradyumna to be born as my son. I've always done good in this world. I have a brother like Balaram. I have so many good associates. Nobody has ever, ever asked me for Sudarshana. Why did you ask me for Sudarshana? And you know what Ashwatthama said? Because if I got the Sudarshana, I will use it to kill you. Krishna's thinking, this guy is just too much. This is the mentality of Ashwatthama. So Yudhishthir quickly go and save Bhima. They went, Yudhishthir, Arjun and Krishna and Sahadev. And when they went, as you know, Ashwatthama was seated down with Maharishi Vyas, with his body smeared in ghee. When he saw Bhima approach him, he became fearful. He took up a blade of grass, put mantras into it, made it into Brahmashira. For the destruction of the Pandavas, he sent it. Krishna asked Arjuna to protect themselves by counteracting another Brahmashira. Now the problem is, if two Brahmashiras attack, if one counterattacks another Brahmashira, what happens? That region has a drought for 12 years. That's why it cannot be counteracted. Or it should not be counteracted. Narad and Vyas immediately got in between both Brahmashiras. Arjuna, he listened to Vyasa's request to withdraw Brahmashira. Now, Ashwatthama, he actually tried his best to withdraw the Brahmashira. But there was a problem. If you withdraw a celestial weapon, that weapon will kill you. It will chop your neck off. The only way you can withdraw a celestial weapon is if you are a Brahmachari. Haribol. Right? So Arjun was a Brahmachari. Okay? He kept his Brahmachari vrat despite being a Grihastha. Which is why he was able to withdraw the weapon. Ashwatthama was also a Grihastha. But he didn't maintain his Brahmacharya. Which is what Ashwatthama knew. You know, I'd been quite naughty. So I can't withdraw. If I withdraw, I would get killed. That's actually why Ashwatthama wasn't able to withdraw his weapon. It wasn't as if he didn't know how to withdraw. He knew how to withdraw. You know, but at the possibility of him being killed, no way. I'm not observing Brahmacharya as a Grihastha. So, because to have children isn't an act against Brahmacharya, that's as you all know. So then he then said, "Fine, the womb of the Pandav women." And as we all know, what happened after that, Draupadi was the one who eventually forgave Ashwatthama, and Krishna, as you all know, cursed him. Now Ashwatthama was not cursed for eternity. Krishna said that for 3,000 years, the curse that I've given you will impact you. And you all know what the curse is. Blood and pus will ooze from his body. He'll be smelly. Nobody will come around him. He'll be disturbed. He'll be in agony. He would have the pain of death. He would be wanting to die, but death would not come to him. That is what he will go through as a reaction of what he did to kill the Pandavasena while sleeping. And this curse, Krishna said, will last for 3,000 years. And we all know that Draupadi forgave him on Vyasa's request. Ashwatthama took his money out and gave it to the Pandavas. And in this way, Ashwatthama, he suffered the consequences of offending the Vaishnavas by thereby disturbing Lord Shri Krishna. And at the same time, Krishna, he used the instruments of the, he utilized Lord Shiva to cause the destruction of Lord Shiva, of Ashwatthama, sorry. And at the same time, and finally, the very, very noble, chaste, very, very soft-tendered Draupadi was utilized. And in the very same way that Ambarish Maharaj forgave Durvasa, she eventually forgave him. So you can see how beautiful it is, huh? How Krishna behaves with his devotees, the love that he has and care that he has, and the message that he sends out to people who want to even mentally disturb or offend the devotees of Lord Sri Krishna. So thank you very much. Granthraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Nithai Gaura Paramanandi. Hari Hari Bol.